It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Joe Biden says democracy's on the ballot. Make no mistake about it. The American economy, the American comeback is on the ballot.
The American people have witnessed what is the greatest failure of any presidential administration in the history of our country.
Citizens are voting right now. They'd like to know if you and Joe Biden are going to hack the Supreme Court if you don't get your way in this nomination.
Let's talk about packing.
You once
Come
again
on.
Gave a non-answer.
If the Trump administration approves a vaccine, should Americans take it?
If Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
The fact that you continue to undermine public confidence in a vaccine is unconscionable.
Joe Biden will not end fracking. He has been very clear about that.
Senator Harris, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. When you talk about accepting the outcome of the election, Senator, your party has spent the last 3.5 years trying to overturn the results of the last election.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's the way it went down last night. I thought that was a great montage that Fox and Friends did this morning, so I shared it with you. I wonder what you thought about that debate. Were you watching it? Because that's what I want to know today. I want to know what you thought, what moments really grabbed you, what was said that really reached you, what was not said, how you think the candidates did, how you think the moderator did. I'm going to jump in first and tell you what I think, at least at the very beginning here, just to give you an overview of my thoughts about it for what it's worth, and then I want to hear yours. I was not disappointed in Kamala Harris. She was snarky and condescending, which is exactly the reason why she had to drop out of the race when she ran as president. She was very much that. I just don't think there was a time when I thought Kamala Harris would be a formidable foe for any Republican because she can present herself very well. And she certainly she has a presence, you know, she's strong, but she's just so unlikable. It cancels out any kind of strength that she might have. That's my personal opinion. Mike Pence, you know, here's a confession. I've been very frustrated with Vice President Mike Pence for a long, long time. And you haven't heard me praise him very much for reasons I may disappointment. When he was governor of Indiana, I considered him a friend, actually, when he was in Congress. I thought he was just great. And I have found him to be sort of pinched and withdrawn since he's been the vice president, not himself. And I have suspected that he has not been as helpful, at least early on, was not as helpful to President Trump as I thought he should be. And there were all kinds of questions about what was happening there. But I have to tell you, last night, I saw the old Mike Pence, which means he was strong. He was very disciplined. He brought his own passion to it. Instead of being pinched and delivering talking points, I just thought, I'm sure he had talking points. But I'm just saying, he actually really hammered Kamala Harris in a respectful way. It was amazing, and I loved it. It was more like the Mike Pence that I remember, so I just can't say enough about his performance last night. Susan Page, who would have thought that Susan Page from USA Today would do a better job than Chris Wallace from Fox? Well, maybe I might have said that, but I don't think most people expected it, and I thought Susan was at the least respectful, and she tried to follow the guidelines. She was not snarky herself. She was respectful. I appreciated that. Her questions, of course, were, you know, her questions. They were geared to make to put Vice President Pence on defense, and they were sort of helpful to Kamala. She did ask a couple of tough questions to Kamala Harris about if she were to have her say in her own state in California, would abortion be legal for all 9 months? She did ask her that. I thought that was interesting. Kamala didn't answer it, but she did ask that question. of Vice President Pence. She put him off with several different questions and, of course, hit COVID very hard. She asked about, you know, if the White House announcement of Amy Coney Barrett's a nomination was a super spreader event. No, she didn't ask. She said, she stated it was a super spreader event. No one really knows that. I have to just interject myself right now that we know, for instance, Senator Tom, I'm from North Carolina, who's in a tough race, was at that event, tested positive for COVID, but inconveniently, he was well masked. So we saw him in masks. So some people in masks got the virus, others without mask did not get the virus. Some without masks did get the virus. And we don't know if it was from that event or not, but it's being labeled as a super spreader event. In fact, remember yesterday I played that clip for you of President Trump leaving Walter Reed Hospital and some reporter, the questions they ask him, are you a super spreader, Mr. President? You know, lovely. So it's become a little buzzword, but you have to know. Then Susan played right into that. She did ask, you know, she didn't ask. She stated, you were at a super spreader event of the announcement of the Supreme Court nominee. How convenient that the announcement of the nominee to the Supreme Court, who they hate and loathe and are afraid she's going to be nominated, well, it just so happens that then they label the event that she's being announced at as a super spreader event. It's just all too convenient. It reminds me of something that Jane Fonda said yesterday. In case you didn't hear it, Jane Fonda, the actress who I used to love, she's a great actress. I didn't love her for her politics ever. When I was in Vietnam, I don't know what year it was, in the 90s at some point, I remember going to the museum of the Vietnam Museum, and I was just pretty much enraged the whole time I was there. Jane Fonda's picture was proudly planted up there because, and Ramsey Clark, I believe, who was the Secretary of State, they were traitors to our country. They colluded with the enemy. And the enemy were the communist Vietnamese. They were still in control. When I was there, they're still in control now. So Jane Fonda, the communist collaborator slash actress, had this to say about COVID. And this reminds me of being able to call that event announcing Amy Coney Barrett's nomination as a super spreader event. Let's listen to what Jane has to say. This is clip 14.
You know, I just think COVID is God's gift to the left.
This is
a terrible thing to say. I mean, I think it was a very difficult thing to send down to us, but it has ripped the Band-Aid off who he is and what he stands for and what is being done to average people and working people in this country. We can see it now. People who couldn't see it before, you know, they see it now, and we have a chance to harness that anger and make a difference. So I feel so blessed to be alive right now.
That was a blessing. It was a gift from God, COVID was. And I don't know if you noticed, but she laughed. COVID is a gift, God's gift. And she laughed. You can't really tell it unless you're watching it. She's laughing. In fact, let's listen to that one more time, just the first part of it, 14. Number 14 again, please.
You know, I just think COVID is God's gift to the left.
Yeah. Okay. That's her laughing. It's God's gift. It's God. That's enough. God's gift to the left. So it's God's gift. They're so happy about it, and they were hoping. You know, it was God's gift because they thought the president was going to die from it. And they were delighted about that. Just this has become so perverse. It really has. And now, you know, Amy Coney Barrett's announcement is a super spreader event. How convenient. It is God's gift, but I'm not sure what God. Not quite sure what God gave that gift of death to the American people, just not sure. So last night, there are so many things to talk about. Let's see. I'm just going to point out a few things that really struck me. Kamala Harris was asked by Susan Page about how she felt about abortion. And Devin, I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm going to ask for that Biden clip on his statements on abortion just 2 days ago. And I'm not sure it's up there yet, so if you could be looking. All right, so Harris, in response to Susan Page's question about what would she do about abortion in California? If she had the right, she had the ability, if Roe versus Wade is overturned and it goes back to the states, what would you do about that? And this is in part a bit of her answer. This is clip 8.
California to do. Would you want your home state to enact no restrictions on access to abortion? And you have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
Thank you, Susan. First of all, Joe Biden and I are both people of faith, and it's insulting to suggest that we would knock anyone for their faith. And in fact, Joe, if elected, will be only the second practicing Catholic as president of the United States. On the issue of this nomination, Joe and I are very clear, as are the majority of the American people. We are 27 days before the decision about who will be the next president of the United States. And, you know, before, when this conversation has come up, you know, it's been about election year or election time. We're literally in an election. Over 4 million people have voted. People are in the process of voting right now. And so Joe has been very clear, as the American people are, let the American people fill that seat in the White House, and then we'll fill that seat on the United States Supreme Court. And to your point, Susan, the issues before us couldn't be more serious. There's the issue of choice, and I will always fight for a woman's right to make a decision about her own body. It should be her decision and not that of Donald Trump and the vice president, Michael Pence.
All right, so let me just say, perhaps you know or don't know that Kamala Harris, as the attorney general in California, is the attorney general who has mercilessly pursued David Dalyden. That's the young man that did the undercover videos at the Planned Parenthood Clinic and discovered that they were selling baby body parts, dissembling, laughing about how they would spend the money. That was David Dalyden, and Kamala Harris has mercilessly gone after him for that. But she is a person of faith. She didn't say what faith. I've never heard her talk about her faith, so maybe, I don't know, but she says Joe Biden is a person of faith. I want you to hear what Joe Biden, the people, the person of faith, had to say in a town hall just a few days ago. This is clip 15.
I knew whenever I was graduating high school and entering college that I wanted to obtain my degree and start a career before starting a family. Having access to birth control and safe reproductive health care was imperative in making that true for me. So considering the new Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett, what are your particular plans to protect women's reproductive rights in the U.S.?
Number one, we don't know exactly what she will do, although the expectation is that she may very well move to overrule Roe. But the only thing, the only responsible response to that would be to pass legislation making Roe the law of the land. That's what I would do.
Yeah, so he has a plan. Joe Biden does. This man of faith has a plan that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, he will go to the legislature and sign a law making Roe versus Wade the law of the land. Roe versus Wade and its companion, Doe versus Bolton, made abortion legal for all 9 months. All right, so this is the people of faith, they say. I don't think Catholics around this country would agree that that is a representative of their faith. I know that it isn't. So she said they're practicing. So I guess if he keeps practicing, maybe he will be a man of faith. I'm being facetious. Because we all know that Jesus, I'll just boil it down to what Scripture says. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how you prove that you are my disciple, that you keep my commandments. You don't expedite murder, certainly of the innocent. It's just mind-boggling. And according to Kamala, they are people of faith. So there is another thing I wanted you to hear. Speaking of faith, Joe Biden made an ad to the Muslim community. And in the background, you've got the, yeah, let's play it. It's clip 4. Let's play this Biden ad to Muslims. Let's listen.
Hadith from the Prophet Muhammad instructs, whomever among you sees a wrong, let him change it with his hand. If he is not able, then with his tongue. If he is not able, then with his heart.
Make no mistake, people. 2020 is our year. Let's dive into it with 2020 Vision. We can see clearly that America is fighting for its very soul.
We come from the same root here.
Yeah, no, we don't. And so that's Joe Biden, the man of faith. And what he saw in the background, you see a policeman with a Muslim overtaking him. So that's Joe Biden, the man of faith. I'm not sure what faith. I am just not sure. All right, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840.
This is 60 Seconds with America's Altar. Come and present your heart to the Lord. How do we win the heart of mankind to Jesus Christ? Mercy. The Epistle of James tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment. We have to first of all show mercy toward ourselves before we think we can show it toward others. What we see happening in culture today is really a good example of people not being merciful toward themselves. People have been so hard on themselves, they can't help but be hard on others. Let us absorb the mercy that God has shown us so that we in turn can show it to others effortlessly.
This has been a soul-winning moment with William Owens, evangelist, author, and poet. Come and present your heart to the Lord. Learn more at americasaltar.org. That's americasaltar.org.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Milley is the highest-ranking officer in the United States military. Psalm 29:11 reminds us of the Lord's gifts of strength and peace. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide General Milley as he works for the defense of our nation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Get your copy of Pray the Vote, with helpful ways to talk to others about prayer and politics. More than 25,000 people have already received their free copy. Available at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
At Liberty University, we believe in honoring service. That's why we offer first responder and military communities deep discounts on all of our 450-plus online programs. Military students, veterans, and spouses pay just $250 per credit hour for undergraduate and $275 to $300 per credit hour for graduate and PhD courses. First responders receive a 25% tuition discount, and those who qualify may be able to use both discounts for even greater savings. It's our way to say thank you for all you do. To learn more, text AGREE to 49595.
Hundreds of Orthodox Jews took to the streets in Brooklyn, New York, angry over government orders to shut down synagogues and houses of worship. Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio implemented strict guidelines limiting houses of worship to no more than 10 people. Non-essential businesses have also been ordered to close, along with schools. The Orthodox community is enraged. They accuse government leaders of targeting their faith group. Early on during the pandemic, Mayor de Blasio personally oversaw the disruption of a Jewish funeral. The protesters marched in the streets and burned their face masks, chanting "Jewish lives matter." The plight of the Orthodox Jews in New York is similar to the plight of Christians in California. Government leaders seem determined to silence people of faith. You might want to remember that on Election Day. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
What is it you're listening to? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it is that you're listening to. I think this was last night. It was certainly on Twitter this morning. And that was the sounds of Black Lives Matter walking through the small town of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, breaking store windows, shouting. And then they went into neighborhoods and started trying to break windows and houses. And then some of them said, oh, don't do that, don't do that. So they dispersed, but they not before they did damage into to a residential neighborhood. That was Black Lives Matter, Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, I believe last night during the debate. Could have happened the night before. I might be wrong about that because you never know about Twitter. It makes you wonder about law and order, doesn't it? Because that's a big issue, is it not? I mean, in fact, let me just skip ahead. Remember the McCloskeys in St. Louis? Well, they were that couple that were in their own home getting ready to have dinner when a Black Lives Matter group broke down their gate. It's a gated neighborhood. Came by their house And they ended up going in the house and getting guns, both of them standing in the yard. And I'll just let you hear. Let's see. Yesterday, a grand jury indicted both of them, both Mark McCoskey and his wife. They've been indicted on a tampering charge, gun and tampering charges. And so McCoskey was on, and by the way, the people that broke through the gate, and I'm going to let Mark in this clip explain to you what actually happened. They, none of them have been prosecuted. But the McCoskeys, they've been prosecuted. This is what he had to say last night, clip 13.
Not just one no trespassing sign, Sean, three no trespassing signs, folded down an iron gate that's been there since 1888, and threatened us with murder, with rape, with arson, with burning our house down, taking over our house, even killing our dog, saying every possible unrepeatable rude thing about my wife's physical anatomy and where they're going to take that, put that pistol when they take it away from her. It was a horrifying scene. But you know, it's just an attempt by this Soros-funded prosecutor to intimidate people, to warn people out there that if you stand up for yourself, exercise your Second Amendment rights, we're going to punish you. Not the mob, not the criminals, but we're going to punish you, law-abiding citizens, for trying to defend yourselves.
All right, so Black Lives Matter, the common link between those stories. So if you find yourself wondering, well, I've told you that Joe Biden staffers, campaigners, people that he's associated with have donated to Black Lives Matter. They're strong supporters. I've also told you that Black Lives Matter has received so much money from American corporations, from Hollywood, from you name it. Everybody wanted to give to Black Lives Matter. They are flush with cash. And guess where they gave a lot of it to? The Joe Biden campaign. As Kamala Harris would say, the Harris-Biden presidency. She said that twice. The Harris-Biden presidency. Oops. Oops. Well, so I wonder then what Kamala Harris thinks about Black Lives Matter. Well, I think we don't have to speculate. Let's listen to clip 16.
You attended at least one that I know of. One where you were caught, a BLM protest, kind of incognito, and you went to just stand in solidarity. How does that compare, right, to the way Donald Trump talks about Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization? What do you say back to maybe some of his supporters and folks who are confused about what BLM actually stands for and what it means, especially with given the fact that Patrice and Opal and Alicia were on the front page or the cover of Time magazine as 100 women or 100 people mm-hmm. that were changing mm-hmm. the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and good for Time magazine for doing that, because they have. And the brilliance and the impact of Black Lives Matter and their brilliance in conceiving it, history is going to show was an inflection point in the ongoing fight for justice, to your point, and to reform the criminal justice system and America's criminal justice system. I actually believe, as a former prosecutor, that Black Lives Matter has been the most significant agent for change.
Okay, I guess she said more than that, but just think about that for a second, because the interviewer mentions Patrice Cullors, Alicia, whose last name I can't remember, Garza, I think, two of the three founders are trained communists, trained Marxists. I've played that for you enough that you probably know that by now. Kamala's singing their praises, the praises of Black Lives Matter, the ones that walked through the little town of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin last night and shattered windows and then went into residential areas to harass and destroy property there. But Kamala thinks they're wonderful, and if she's not, she has said it more than once. Let me also say that Kamala Harris was one of the persons that supported and worked with the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which was rapidly bailing out all of those criminals we saw in our streets when they would go to jail. They would be bailed out with Kamala's help. So just so you know, that's who Kamala Harris is on this, and I think that's really important for you to know under a Harris Biden administration, out of her mouth, the Harris Biden administration. Okay, there were a lot of things that happened in the debate last night, which I hardly played. But I want to talk to you because I do want to know what you thought. I want to know what moments you thought were important, what topics, what answers, what responses, what was missing, how Susan Page did it from your perspective, whatever. But I just want to know what you think. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Brian in Arkansas. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, young lady. So I really think Pence did a fantastic job, and you can really tell if anybody was watching just how nasty of a person Harris is. I mean, she is just she's just a nasty individual. But I thought it was a much better debate, obviously, than the presidential debate. Pence is, you know, I honestly never really paid much attention to him, but that guy is super, super sharp and very collected. He just seems like a fantastic guy. I'm glad he's the vice president. So I love your show, and I hope you have a great day.
Okay, Brian, thanks a lot. Well, I do. I agree. I think that Mike did a great job. Vice President Pence did a great job last night, and I think it finally he's awake. It's like, hello, he's back. The old guy that was such a champion out of Indiana seems to be back, and I'm, for one, am just delighted. I really am. Let's go to Lamont in Virginia. Good morning, Lamont. What did you think?
Sandy, just to tell you real quickly, because I know other people on the line to also chat. But anyway, here in Culpeper, we have obviously support Mike Pence and Donald
Trump. Lamont, we're having a little trouble hearing you. I don't know if you can adjust anything.
Okay,
There. Can't quite make out your words. Okay, there you go.
Thank you so much. Anyway, let me be very quick. I have followed Mike Pence and Donald Trump. Just want to say that these two men are the epitome of what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do, to speak truth and heap love of coals on the heads of those that are either lying or cheating and stealing. But anyway, that what a wonderful presentation last night. Mike was well prepared. Kamala tried her best to show some composure, but you know, facial expressions tell a lot. Like in court, when you go to court, your body language tells whether you're lying or not. But I just want to say what a wonderful presentation. Mike is potential for 2024, and God bless your show. We just love you here in Culpeper, Virginia.
Oh, Lamont, thanks. Thank you very much. By the way, I'm going to be in Virginia. I should tell you guys, when am I going to be there? Well, I'll have to... I think it's the 22nd, but I have my calendar. So it's a Thursday night. I'll be doing a town hall for the Goochland Tea Party, who I often mention because I love them, and they're just a great bunch of people. So I'll be down there, and I'll let you know. Lamont, thank you so much. God bless you back. And let me just say that I didn't until – I'm just confessing to you. Until last night, I was I didn't feel that Vice President Pence could handle being president because I just feel he's been too restrained, and maybe not all in for President Trump's agenda. That's just frankly what I have observed. And I just think that's changed. I think he has changed. I think he didn't maybe have as much faith in President Trump initially as he does now. And now I think he's kind of freed up now that he's not kind of living in conflict. And I just, I think that Lamont, you might be right about his future. I do. Let's go to Kenny in Virginia. Good morning, Kenny.
Yes,
what
ma'am.
Did you think? What did you think?
Hey, the only I think Mike Pence did incredible, ma'am. By the way, I love your show.
Thank you.
But I wish when Kamala Harris said that that he was the worst administration in American history, that he would have brought up the, you know, just before the COVID, unemployment was at 3.2%. The stock market was hitting records, and that the middle class America was advancing so dramatically, and I wish he just would have brought that up. That you know, he would have confronted her on that.
I was thinking that later on, he in that moment, you're right, that was her opening salvo, and she delivered it a really strong punch, and she ended it by saying it's the worst administration ever. She gave all the numbers of people that had died from COVID and all of that. We've got it. I could play it, but. And that's the way the debate started. And I don't. I think you're right. In his initial response, he did not counterpunch with that. But I think later on, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, I was only able to watch it once last night. I think later on, he actually did lay at least some of that out, especially when she was talking about how disadvantaged blacks had been. I thought that he talked about the unemployment rate among the black community. I could be wrong about that, but that's exactly what we're looking for, Kenny, is a critique of what could be better always. Hey, thanks. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And let's go to Lisa in Louisiana. Good morning, Lisa. So what'd you think?
Good morning, Sandy. I just wanted to say God bless you for the truth that you speak.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to just say that, you know, I watched the debate and Kalyna Harris totally spewed lies out of her mouth. It was total lies. It's all a blanket for what they really want to do and what their agenda is for the American people. So, you know, I just really wanted to say that, you know, if you're for the Democratic Party right now, it truly is demonic. And so if you are for, you know, the Democratic Party, that you really need to think about your faith and what you stand for, and maybe it's time to switch to be Republican.
Well, Lisa, that's a good warning, and I'm sure it'll be controversial. The only caution I would give you, what I found because I've been doing this so long, is I would put it this way, the party platform for the Democrats is just so anti-God, anti-biblical, it's just horrific. And so I would agree with that, and I would also agree that the Republican platform is wonderful. When you start, you know, you have to be careful to couch your terms in support of a party. I would support the platforms of those parties in so much as they embrace the platforms. What you just said is absolutely true. I find that most of the Democrats are embracing their platform, but a lot of Republicans are not embracing theirs. And so that's the distinction I would draw. So just because they're Republican, they don't get my support. If they are, you know, some of them are more like the Democratic platform. Not many, but some are. And so just that caution, that's all, Lisa. Hey, listen, thanks. I appreciate you calling. In fact, let me give you an illustration of Kamala Harris's lying last night, because but she really laid one on the audience when it came to fracking and fossil fuels. So let's listen to clip 17, and maybe this will give you an idea of what the point that Lisa was trying to make. Let's listen.
What about, say, stopping fracking and stopping
No more fracking.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated and no more subsidies for either one of those.
Kiddo, I want you to just take a look, okay? You don't have to agree, but I want you to look in my eyes. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah.
I thought that was the other clip. But what we played there was a montage of what actually they have said, Biden and Harris, on fracking and fossil fuels. Fossil fuels simply means, for those of you that aren't in the industry, it means what you use to power your car, gasoline, and all the uses of gasoline. That's what they wanted. They want electric power. They want wind power, solar power. They don't want fossil fuel power, which is what you use to heat your home out in the Northeast, coal, all kinds of things. And they actually remembered Barack Obama said, under my administration, he said this, necessarily energy prices will soar. So the price of heating your home, the price of, they're going to do away with these fuels. And that means they're trying to make it so expensive that you can't afford to use it, and you'll have to use wind power and solar. Problem is, wind power and solar and others just cannot produce enough energy to replace fossil fuels. So when she lied last night, when she denied that Joe Biden is against fracking, that she's against fracking, when they have said it repeatedly on the campaign trail, and that is the clip that we just played you, is them, look at my eyes, we're going to do away with fossil fuels, and Kamala Harris saying, we will do away with fracking. So there's just one example of the many lies she did tell last night. And that's why I'm here, to try to help you see through it, because you fall for those lies, don't you? It's easy. How can you keep up with everything? I can barely keep up with everything. Phone number is 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The city lies four square, its length, width, and height all equal, 1,380 miles for each dimension. The city's wall is 216 feet high. 12 gates surround the city, with each gate made of a single pearl. Streets of gold so pure, they're translucent. No need for a sun. God's glory lights the city. No tears, no pain. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Our nation's capital is in a virtual meltdown as accusations fly about the president's health, as talks about a stimulus bill collapse, as families around the president come under attack, and as his enemies try to destroy him. The psalmist speaks of times like this when he says in Psalm 2, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? God is not disturbed by any of this. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision." God is not rattled. God is not unsettled. Let's fix our eyes on Him. God has a plan in the midst of this tumult, and all of it is serving His purposes, even the parts we don't understand. So we can trust in God's power and purpose and steady ourselves with the conviction that God will work out His plan and see to it that His will is done here on earth as it is in heaven.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. During last night's debate between Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris, a key question was squarely put about their running mate's policies towards China. Mr. Pence emphasized that Donald Trump had stood up to the Chinese communists and would continue to do so. Ms. Harris declined to answer. The closest she came to doing so was to refer to Joe Biden's belief that foreign policy comes down to personal relationships. That's really worrying, since his close ties with PRC dictator Xi Jinping mightily contributed to the policy of appeasement the Obama team pursued when Biden was its point man on China. The then-Vice President's official stenographer, Michael McCormick, describes in a new memoir how Xi and Vladimir Putin manipulated and humiliated Joe Biden. Leaders' misplaced emphasis on personal ties usually undermines U.S. foreign policy interests rather than advance them. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I carry with me, I don't have it, I gave it to my staff, but I carry with me in my pocket do I have that around anyone? Where's my staff? I gave it away anyway. I carry a schedule in my pocket that lists every single day the number of troops lost in Afghanistan and Iraq, the number wounded. This is my schedule. The back of the schedule is always a black box. You can't really see it. The press may be able to. It says daily U.S. updates. Troops died in Iraq and Afghanistan, 6,000. 6,922. Not over 6,000. 6,922. Because every one of those women and men left behind an entire group of people who relied on them. U.S. troops wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, 53,188. Not over 53,000. U.S. COVID-infected military, U.S. COVID-infected in America, 6,344,700. U.S. COVID deaths, 189,506. Military COVID infected, 118,984. Military COVID deaths, 6,114. Folks.
Enough. So that's the president. Everyone, that's the Vice President Biden on the trail. Problem is, he said that there were, 6,114 COVID deaths, military COVID deaths. The truth is, according to the Department of Defense, the number of COVID deaths in the military is, in fact, seven, not 6,114, but seven. The reason I play that for you is because now I know that Vice President Biden is not in full faculty, but this has been typical of him before he was ever not in full faculty. He's lied on the campaign trail. That's why he had to drop out of the election in the early 80s, because he was such a liar. He plagiarized. That's what Mike Pence actually brought that up to Kamala Harris last night. He said to her, your COVID plan sounds a lot like President Trump's COVID plan. It sounds like plagiarism. But then again, Joe Biden would know something about that, wouldn't he? That was one of the really good lines that Vice President Pence delivered last night. And speaking of lies, one more thing. In the debate last week, Joe Biden kept claiming that he was not for the Green New Deal. No, I'm not for the Green New Deal. But, of course, the Green New Deal is by a different name all over the campaign website. It's the very same thing as the Green New Deal. Kamala Harris was a co-sponsor of the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is a nightmare of I haven't got time to take a detour on that. If you want to look that up, let me just say it's much more than a Green New Deal. It's about guaranteed income for people. It's about refurbishing America's buildings and all the cities. It's designed to bankrupt the country. And Kamala's all in favor. So a Harris-Biden administration might be a bit of a problem, and not the least of which they lie about what they're trying to do, which is what socialists/communists do when they're trying to take power. If you see the ads of Joe Biden lately, I've noticed they're promising everything. If you're a family of four, you get $3,000. If you're a family, I mean, it's just amazing. It's what the old Soviets did too when they were trying, the Bolsheviks, when they were trying to take power, they promised the peasants everything. And they knew they couldn't deliver it. And then on the taxes last night, Kamala Harris is trying to say to the American people, we're not going to do away, we're not going to raise your taxes. Joe Biden has said repeatedly on day one, he's going to raise your taxes. He talks about a number. He says that, he's going to do away with the Trump taxes. It will raise everyone's taxes. Kamala she wanted people to think it was just about the rich, but it isn't. If you're a middle-class family, you know that you've been paying less taxes under the Trump's tax plan. And so it's just lies after lies after lies. All right, so let me go back to you because I want to know what you think. Jane in Michigan. Good morning, Jane. What did you think about that debate?
Well, I didn't get to see much of it. I had family things going on. But my main point is Joe Biden may be a Catholic. I wasn't there for his baptism, so I don't know. But I can tell you this, he is definitely not a devout practicing Catholic, or he could not be in favor of abortion. Abortion is murder, and we do not murder, especially we do not murder unborn babies. It's not their fault.
Yep, no, that's right, Jane. I know the Catholics feel that way. I think I said that, so I appreciate hearing from you. And I thought, I'm thinking maybe even Joe Biden, if I remember correctly, has gotten in trouble with I don't want to say the archdiocese that he attends. I believe somebody probably needs to look that up. But I'm pretty sure in his past life and service, he's run afoul of the priest in his area or the archbishop because of his liberal standing on abortion. So, Jane, I appreciate you emphasizing that point. Let's go to Ron in Texas. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So, what did you think?
I only watched the first three exchanges because I just, first off, I'm voting Trump, period. Just the lines that came out of Kamala Harris's mouth. But if the CDC is accurate with the 6% of the 210,000 deaths are actually deaths from the Chinese Wuhan COVID-19 flu, then that's only 12,600 actual deaths from the COVID flu. Now, that is less than of the total population of the United States. That is less than 0.004%. And if you just take the number they're stating as being infected with the flu, which I believe they state like 7.3 million, the death rate of infected known persons in the United States is under 0.2%. And I sure wished that he would have thrown those numbers out there last night, if they're accurate, if he'd have thrown those out there, because, you know, if you die in a car crash and you actually have COVID, that's not a COVID death. That's a death from an accident. So,
Ron, you sound like you've been listening to Sandy Rios in the morning. That's all I can say. I've made that point a lot, but you made it very well, and I wanted you to have the chance to lay that out. And I actually felt the same way. I'm glad you brought this up. I wondered why did Vice President Pence turn around and repeat that number? Why do they do that? Why do they do that? I don't understand that. Why they don't say, according to the CDC, give the date. And the fact that the CDC reported that only 6% of the numbers actually die from COVID, I don't know why they don't do that. And that's why the president came out, you know, when he got home and said, don't be afraid. Don't let this rule your life. It is the rates are, he did not talk about the details that you and I are talking about. But that's what he knows. And that's why he said what he said. But OK, Ron, you had another point, and I'm going to let you make it.
The last thing I wanted to say is may God richly bless you and your family and the American Family Radio Association and just the body of Christ in general. Richly bless us throughout this whole ordeal.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron. I am with you. I was just hearing Dr. Dobson before I came on this morning praying for the nation. And it was a great way for me to be doing my last 2 minutes before I go on the air here, because I think that we probably have more optimism than we've had. The polls are showing that Joe Biden is way ahead, that he's moved up since that last debate, that Kamala Harris is more popular than Vice President Pence among the people. That's what they're telling us. And it could be true. It could be true. And also I'm reading just so many reports of voter fraud. Unbelievable things are coming my way in various states and various challenges. And the left is prepared to do whatever it takes to win this election. So we cannot be assured. But I think the one thing I'm committed to, and I want to suggest that you commit to also, those of you that are Christians, is that no matter what happens, that we go deeper in our faith, that we honor God and love and trust Him and serve Him. No matter what, if we have a victory, if President Trump should win and Vice President Pence, that we not breathe a sigh of relief and stop being vigilant about our own lives and about the lives of our family. Let's make changes. Let's make changes and go deeper and turn this country around in a more significant way so that this is a lasting transformation and not something for just a few years more, just to buy a little time. That's just not enough. Let's go to Richard in... let's go to Richard in Tennessee. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So,
I was thinking last night when I was watching that debate, Vice President Pence brought up the subject of the young woman that was taken captive by the terrorist.
Yeah, Kayla Mueller.
Murdered.
Uh-huh. Kayla Mueller.
And I thought that Kamala Harris was going to pass out when that came up. I have never seen anybody look like that. Her face was, it was telling what she did not know what she was going to say about that.
Yeah.
Because she was shook up.
Yes.
Because President or Vice President Biden and Obama had the opportunity to save that woman's life, and they dilly-dallied around on approving a plan 2 days late. They were 2 days late after they finally approved a plan to free that woman, and then she wound up dying. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought Vice President Pence said that her family was in the audience.
Yes, they were. They were there last night.
I can't be sure about it.
Yeah, no, they were.
That's what I thought.
Yes, and he's made the point that they had said if only President Obama had acted, she would have been saved. That's what her parents have said. So, yeah, it was a very powerful moment because Kamala had no defense for that. Richard, thanks a lot. Let me go to Alan in Oklahoma. Alan, you got something practical for us. What is it?
Sandy, thank you for having me on the show. God bless you and keep you. You are an all-star for the word and work of God. And
thank
I just
you.
Want to say that last night the debate really kind of confirmed that we Christians do not need to sit back and see the salvation of God, but we need to be busy about his business. And we can do that simply by getting on our phones and text messages where Facebook can't censor us. And we can encourage each other to pray and get out and vote and not vote a party, like you said earlier. We're voting the Bible. We're voting God. We're voting for the patriotism and the constitution of this great nation. And Sandy, again, God bless you. Thank you. My wife and I work a little ministry here. We pastor a little ministry here in Oklahoma. And we lift you folks and AFR and your show often in prayer. And I just want to thank you for all that you're doing. And listen, we all know that he who sits in the heavens is entertained by the efforts of the left. And we know that God stood up for us by putting his son on that cross, and we need to stand up for him, Sandy.
Oh, I'm with you on that, Alan. Thank you. Beautifully said. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate your personal remarks and also your admonition. Thank you so much. Let's go to Cindy. You get the last word this morning, Cindy, in Texas. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you. I got to read a verse yesterday morning out of Acts chapter 6, verse 10. Says, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And I just began to pray that over Mike Pence, that he would be so filled with the Holy Spirit that she would not be able to cope with the wisdom coming out and the spirit with which he spoke. And I really believe God answered that prayer. Our whole family was praying that verse. And I just think we are in such a spiritual warfare. And that is the answer, is to be able to pray and especially pray God's word back to him over these people, over President Trump and all of them. Thank you.
Excellent, Cindy. Excellent. That's a great way to end our discussion today and a great verse to remember for this. Acts 6:10. We'll take that to heart. Thanks a lot. You know, it is true. When I was telling you about what happened at the march in Washington in the Black Lives Matter, Antifa protesters saw the Christians like coming down the mall and shouted out, don't let them touch you, don't let them pray for you, and then they ran away. It did remind me of how great our God is and that the Holy Spirit within us is the power of God within us. We just absolutely underestimate God's power and how mighty our God is. So that's not about us. It's not, you know, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. All right, so go forth, do what you can today to help a candidate, and let's take this over the finish line. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.